Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your presence tonight. I thank you, Lord, for leading this whole fellowship tonight, that each one of us, as we speak, Father, be it only as an oracle of you, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for anointing Blake when he gives his testimony to speak the things that you'd have him to speak, Father. Give him the anointing. Also give him wisdom and discernment, Father, and we thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night of just like it was Tuesday night, of repentance and crying out to you, Lord, and just thanking you for the things that you've done in our life, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for leading us, guiding us, keeping us, and bringing us into this thing that we know that's coming up ahead on that straight and narrow path, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, first of all, we're going to ask if anybody needs any prayer. That's what we do on the conference calls first. Is we ask if anybody needs prayer. Well, you need prayer, Obadiah? I see you waving your hand, brother. Okay. Yeah. Huh? Okay. All right. I want everybody to agree with, Blake, you want to pray for?
Yeah.
Okay. Blake wants to. Go ahead, Blake. What you want to pray, brother?
Pray for my daughter. She's been sick and congested. So God, we pray for Harper that you take the congestion from her right now. No longer is she sick, God, by the faith that we have. We pray that you lift up my brother. He's in a rehab right now, and that you come to him in his sleep or while he's awake, God. Let him know the love that you have for him. And we just pray that you make this conference call a good one and a blessed one. Just in my prayer. Amen.
Amen. We command that spirit of infirmity off of Courtney, right, or not Courtney, I'm sorry, off of Harper. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, that she is healed. We thank you, Lord, that along with Blake, we put our faith and we lock it all together, and we know that baby's healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, anybody else?
I think they're saying that they're muted.
They raise their hand. Anybody that wants prayer can raise their hands. And what happened to? Oh, okay. And why you do that? I'm not sure how you do that, Matt. Just wave your hand. There you go. Just wave your hand. That'll do it.
Hey, Michael. Cameras.
Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
The phones do *9.
*9. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So Lord, usually just wave their hands.
Yeah, just wave your hand. I can see that. Yeah. You waving your hand, Blake?
No.
Oh. Okay. Blake's just right there. So I got a ball chain on his foot. No. He's been pretty free. Praise God. Okay. Anybody? What about a testimony or a praise report? Not now, Blake. Not just in a little bit, we will. Go ahead, Missy.
Some of you know that when I was down for the August pot blessing, when I pulled into the driveway at Patty's, Merle texts me and tells me that they had a storm and a tree flattened my swing. I had a double, like, swing. It was like this. Anyway. And I had it for 11 years, and it got totally demolished. And, anyway. So, I would love to replace it. But they're really expensive. I paid like half for at least half of what they cost now. So they're really expensive. And something came to my mind. I said to Mara, I said, well, we wouldn't have to put another one back down in the yard like that. We don't have to have the same kind of swing. We could put a porch swing, hang it from the deck above because we have a top deck and a lower deck, and we could swing it from the floor joist from the above deck. And I was looking at different ones and stuff, and I just kind of like felt like I wasn't to get one, but then I was like, well, and he wasn't giving me any satisfaction over it or whatever, and so I felt like the Lord said, drop it, and I felt like, you know, I'm like, okay, I've been like talking to the Lord about, and the subject that Leonid and Willie were talking about on Tuesday, you know, I've never really hurt for anything. Like, I didn't think that I was materialistic, or at least not to the degree of some people that I know. I don't mean to sound self-righteous, but at least that was the way I used to think. And because when I was married to my ex-husband, he made a lot of money, and it was kind of funny, not really funny, haha, but there was a lot of his friends' wives that were, how you would say it, high maintenance. they would want this or they'd want that, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, they'd have rings all over their hands, and, you know, just really, and I never was not anywhere nearly materialistic as what they were, but, and we had this big, huge, like, it was like 5,000 square foot house. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I never wanted it because it was a lot to take care of, and I could tell you all about it. But even though I didn't want it and I was living in that situation and everything, it was hard not to be kind of drug into that whole materialistic thing to some degree. But anyway, so, and I'm like, Lord, you know what? I know you don't want me to always, you know, the Lord being convicting me, I know you don't always want me to use money to fix whatever it is, you know? It's kind of like, okay, something gets broke. Oh, you just go buy another one. You don't believe the Lord for it. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I really felt like the Lord was saying, you know, just believe me for one, like somebody will give you one or whatever. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I felt like this is what he was saying to me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, if you want me to have one, you will make a way. Somebody give me one or something, you know. And I even looked on Craigslist for like used ones, you know, that would be pretty cheap, you know. And I just felt like the Lord didn't want me to do that. And I hadn't said anything to Moral about it for a while or whatever. So I was coming home the other day, and it was yesterday, and I was driving through the neighborhood coming home, and Wednesday is garbage night, and here, like four houses down from us or so, there's somebody has this porch swing sitting out. And I was like, for the garbage. And I'm like, I looked at it and didn't see anything wrong with it, you know, as I was driving by. And I'm like, ooh, well, I had some groceries that I had to put away. And that quick, I forgot about it. So we went to take Fudge out for a walk. And we usually go the one way, but the neighbor was taking their dog that way, and she spazzes out and barks and everything. So I'm like, well, let's go this way. Let's go a different way. Well, we went by that yard, but it was on the other side of the street, and I was paying attention to what Fudge was doing. So on the way back, I was like, then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, Merle, look. So we were like looking at it, and we did see that it had a board on the bottom that was cracked, and we're like, well, we can fix that. He says, well, do you want it? I said, yeah. So he picked it up and carried it a few houses down to our house. So we went out today and we got the chains for it because it didn't have any chains or anything for it. We figured out all that we needed and we long story short, we fixed it. We ran into a little bit of a problem trying to fix it, but we fixed it and we have it hanging up underneath. It was a cost of the supplies that we got for the chains and to brace it, make it a little bit stronger and everything is $45. I got me a swing for $45. So praise the Lord. I was like so tickled because I was like, that was, I think, to be honest with you, that was like the real first time that I can think of with that kind of a situation where believing the Lord for it and not using my own ingenuity, you know, it was just like placed right there, you know. And you know, one thing that did pop into my mind was, you know, maybe a neighbor might have one or neighbor might put one out, you know, or whatever for, that kind of thing just kind of like, those kind of thoughts kind of zip through my head quick or whatever. So I was like, wow. I'm like, Lord, you're so cool. So praise the Lord.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. You swings are home, a homie, aren't they?
Yeah. I love to sit on the swing and just swing. Yeah. And like Merle and I would go on sit down on the swing, you know, when we take a break in the middle of doing yard work or whatever. And it was just nice to do, you know, and now it's on the deck and it's in the shade. Now it's not, the rain isn't going to completely keep us from getting wet the deck above because there's cracks in it. But on the other swing, it had a roof on it. Now if it stormed really bad, you'd get rained on if it was windy. But anyway. But it was awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay. All right. Anybody else? That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Leo. I just want to say I was really, really blessed this last Tuesday with the fellowship that we had. And just a testimony, a little testimony. You know, I came home after the fellowship, got off work, come home, and I find my son Josiah sleeping calmly, peacefully. And I asked my wife, I said, you know, when did he fall asleep? And she's like, oh, about 2.5 hours ago. And I was like, that's exactly the time that Michael was praying for him in the beginning of our fellowship. So she's like, yeah, he just kind of just dozed off and he's been just calm and peaceful. And I walk into my house and my kids are peaceful and my wife is peaceful and everybody's happy. And, it was a real testimony to me, you know, when I came home to see that. You know, later on in the night, he did wake up and he started crying and everything. And I was totally calm about it. You know, I had this amazing peace over my heart and my wife was amazingly just calm about it. And my kids just stayed calm about it. Nobody got frustrated or upset. And I was just looking at my whole family thinking, wow, this is great. You know, and it's like even his crying and his, you know, his noise that he was making just wasn't bothering anybody, you know. It was amazing. And at one point, I just picked him up right in front of my family. And I said, you know what, I'm going to read the Bible to him out loud. And I sat down in the couch. You know, all the other two kids are playing and my wife is over there sitting reading her thing. And I just sit down with my Bible. I open it up to John, I think chapter 6 or 7 or whatever, and just start reading out loud. You know, put him in my hand like this and just reading, you know. And he instantly becomes quiet. He doesn't make a peep. He stops crying right away. And he sat there for probably a good 30 minutes the whole time I was reading those two chapters to him out loud. He was looking at me with his just, you know, totally coordinated eyes. You know, he wasn't like having any seizures. He wasn't crying. He wasn't making a peep. He was just looking straight at me, you know, the whole time I was reading to him. And I said, you know, this is interesting. I talked to my wife. I said, you know, he responds to when we read the Bible. I've noticed that a couple times when we read the Bible out loud, he actually responds to that. And anyway, that's just a small testimony. later that night, you know, in the middle of the night, he gave us a little workout, but no big deal. He fell asleep after that. I mean, things are, I'm definitely seeing God work, and things are going to change drastically for him. So I'm really thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answer to prayers. Lord, we thank you that you're continuing to work on Josiah right now and the family. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Father. That's what happens when people get together and pray and believe together. Thank you, Lord. I should be an encouragement to everybody here that when this group prays, God answers. God answers his prayers. Amen. Hey, Dave. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, or would like to pray? Yeah, Leon, go ahead. I'll get to you in a minute, Dave. Oh, he's waving at David.
I was just waving at Dave.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, though.
Dave, did you have something?
No, that's just one way I get volunteers. I start waving.
Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, it's actually not me. It's my wife, so.
I got a testimony, but it's not near as good as Leo's. But, I've been asking the Lord to see the ocean because I wanted to see the ocean for, I don't know, a few years. And I've never seen, I did see it when I was four, but I don't really count that because it was gray and cloudy. And one second. Okay, buddy. It was gray and cloudy and I don't really remember it, so I don't really count that. So the Lord did make a way and we got to see the ocean and it was amazing. And then there was a lighthouse there, and Judy was with us, and she wanted to see the lighthouse. Okay, buddy. So it was 178 steps up to the top, but that wasn't really a problem. But when we got up to the top, we got up to the top, and they got the door, and you can walk all the way around, and I've always been really, really afraid of heights. And Matthew's like, come on, you know, you got to come out and see it. And you can see the ocean right there, and I was like, I can't do it. And I looked out, and I just had that fear come over me, and I could see down, and I was like, I cannot do that, you know. But I was like, you know, if I believe the Lord took this fear away from me, then I'd do it. I'd step out there, and I was like, oh, man, I still can't do it. And I was like, oh, you know, but I've got to, or else I'm not believing the Lord's going to take it away from me. So I stepped out there. And I ended up actually looking over the rail a little bit, and I walked all the way around without holding on to anything, and the Lord just took that fear away from me, and it was really awesome. Because, I mean, I remember being at Matthew's parents' house, and they had a daylight basement with a deck, and I couldn't even look over the deck one story up, you know? And I think it was 178 steps. I think they said it was 140 feet up. So the Lord really delivered me of that fear, so that was really awesome. So praise the Lord.
Praise God, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else?
I have a praise report.
Okay, let's hear it.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for just showing up in a mighty way and answering prayer during the hurricane here. We were blessed that our electricity did not go out here, despite most of the surrounding area of Corpus Christi and Rockport and Port A losing power. So I've been praying over that pole for quite a while because it's kind of, it goes in and out sometimes. But I was just standing on my faith, and my mom and my grandma were here in my apartment, and my sister, and I just, you know, they kept, you know, speaking, you know, what the normal person would say, oh, when the electricity goes out, and I'm like, well, it's not going to go out in Jesus' name. And so I just want to thank the Lord for that, for sustaining us, and we didn't lose any food or anything like that, and for protecting the life of my uncle, who was not saved because they were out there in the Rockport area, everything was destroyed out there, but their building, I think some areas did get touched, but they didn't lose anything in their apartment. So I think that was the hand of the Lord. And, I just thank God. And I got to pray with them today. So I just wanted to pray the Lord for that.
Amen. Did y'all get any, water around your house, Angelica?
Now where I live, because I live about 20-25 minutes away from downtown, kind of where the water's at. Okay. So so we didn't get anything over here, but we did get a lot of strong winds and rains, and trees and fences and everything went out, and the surrounding neighborhoods lost their power, but we didn't. So I want to give God the glory for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. She's not going to lose electricity anymore. Neither is Wade and Jeanette. Neither is Al. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Amen. Okay. I was, is that your sister, Anna?
Our niece, actually.
Niece. Hey, niece.
Tasha.
Tasha. Hey, girl. How you doing?
Tasha.
That's what I said, wasn't it? That's just that Arkansas accent. You just can't understand. Amen. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Well, as I emailed everybody, I asked Blake to give his testimony for everybody here, and it's been an awesome week with him. I picked him up last Monday, and or this past Monday. And God really has worked in his life, and I just praise God for the work that he's doing in him and also in Austin, his brother. His brother is in South Arkansas. He's doing well. He's running for Christ, too. And so I'd like for Blake to come on and share his testimony. And I will. I'll unmute you when I'm ready. That's what papaws do, isn't it? Praise God. Okay, Blake, y'all be praying for him while he's giving it. In Jesus' name. All right.
All right. I tried to pray earlier, but there's a gobstopper stuck in my throat. But, that'll work. It's been in there for like 30 minutes. Hold on. There you go. But, I want to pray that God gives me the words that he wants me to say, that he helps me through the night and at least touch somebody tonight. But I remember taking opiates whenever first time when I was 8 years old, and just feeling off of an opiate, just off of a hydro that I had to get for a broken arm, I liked it. I can remember liking it. Addiction, I grew up with my grandpa in church, you know, every way you can think of, you know. He wasn't perfect, but he still believed in Christ and tried to show me who God was, which made me rebel. By the time I was in ninth grade, I got caught selling drugs. I was varsity football, captain of the defense, varsity baseball, you know, any sport you can think of, we did. We'll fast forward a little bit. First started snorting pills, and then I started shooting them. By the time I was 20 years old, I was robbing anybody and everybody I could. Even if you left it unbolted, I was getting it. I went to prison with 9 felonies. They gave me a 4-year sentence. I was supposed to do 8 months. I turned 8 months into 18 months. In prison, it's not a place for people. It's not a place for anybody. Not even a dog should go to prison. Whenever I was in prison, I'm just gonna keep this light. When I was in prison, I've seen people get stabbed, get killed. I've seen people get false prophesied, people get saved with demons. And I wasn't even a Christian, and I could tell that, you know. I've seen a lot of things that weren't of God. It was all of man, all of world. I fast forward to that, I get out of prison, get a beautiful fiance and a baby. Huh? Okay. Well, my internet connection's unstable. Anyways, I had a wife and a baby and a good job. But man, the demon of addiction, I had a problem with women. And it's even amazing that I'm even admitting to any of this, because my fiance is on here. And, since I've gotten saved in the Holy Spirit, or baptized in the Holy Spirit, and since I've found Christ, he's taught me how to be transparent. So anything I had a problem with, I'm delivered. I got delivered from cigarettes today. Thanks to Leon and Papaw. But anyways, thanks to God. But I'm jumping around. My bad. But I say that to say this. 2 weeks ago on Thursday, I overdosed with 7 different drugs in my system. I had gram of heroin, a gram of cocaine. I had methamphetamines. I ate 3 grams of meth. I died. And you know what my friend did? They drove me to the hospital and threw me out of the car at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember being in the ICU. I was in the ICU for 2 days, something like that, I think. I don't really remember. But they were trying to give me Narcan to reverse the side effects of the heroin and methamphetamine and the cocaine. It wasn't working, so they gave me a drug called Halidol. And Halidol, if any of y'all know, is a very, very strong, strong drug that they had to put me on a psych hold in the hospital so that I couldn't leave. Because the Halidol was giving me hallucinogens, like I was seeing stuff. So I checked myself out of the hospital, even though I wasn't supposed to go anywhere. And I walked 3 miles back to the hotel. At that time period, I don't remember any of this. I don't even remember showing up to the hotel. I call my mother and I'm on the phone with her. I get my suitcase and I don't have a shirt on. I'm sweating. I remember sitting down on the suitcase and I died again. This is the second time in a 2-day period. So I die again and I'm laying on my suitcase, and I hadn't even told my fiance about this, I don't think. But God came and got me, took me to heaven. And when he took me to heaven, he didn't let me in, you know, of course, or anything like that. But he showed me, I seen the gates, and also I seen, he told me, he says, I'm going to use you. You're going to be a prophet, but you have a lot of work to do. And when he said a lot, he emphasized it. So in God's time, a lot, and it's going to take a while, you know what I mean? It could take forever, but he's showing me that he's maturing me really, really quick. Then I fell, and whenever I fell, I went to hell. When I went to hell, I get choked up on this. Hell's not a place y'all want to be at all. I have tattoos on my arm right here, and it says Billy Michelle and CJ Hughes. I've seen both of them in hell, both of them. CJ is my best friend. You can ask my fiance. That's my best friend. And you know what he was doing? He was shooting drugs in his arm. And every time he would shoot it, it would poison him all the way up his body and then take over his face. And then he'd go like this trying to breathe, and he was yelling, no, 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 and he would die. Billy was one of my best friends. She was at a different part of hell. And what she was doing is she was getting shot up in both arms, both feet, and it'd be the same thing as CJ. It'd start to poison her all the way up her body, and then it'd get to her head. And these people, they know their death is coming, and they're still, they relive it over and over and over again. is what I'm trying to say. They relive their death over and over and over again. They try to call out to me that it doesn't matter, that nothing can save them. So after that, that still wasn't enough. I shot up heroin the next day after I died and God showed me that. You know, my bad. I shot up heroin the next day after getting out of the hospital. And then between Thursday and that Monday, I've managed, in a three-week time period, my fiance, I moved out of the house on my birthday, July 26th. By August, I think, 16th, which is 3 weeks away, I went to two different rehabs and a detox. I got in a fight in one of the rehabs. The other rehab, I was withdrawing so bad, they sent me to a hospital. When I went to that hospital, I got drugs brought to the hospital and did drugs the whole time I was in the hospital. Monday rolls around, in Papaw, I was staying in a hotel Sunday night, and I texted my grandpa. My uncle gave me $40 in the hotel room, and I had a $25 Uber ride on my phone, and I used my last $25 on Uber to get from my hotel room in Jacksonville to Little Rock to get a fix. Whenever I came back, I was feeling down because, you know, of course you do drugs, you're depressed. I texted my grandpa at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, "Hey, I'm ready. Come get me." So he's starting to come down. He texted me back Monday morning. He said he was on his way. He said he had to ask God first, and then after he asked God, he was on his way. But I got picked up before he could get to the house. I got picked up, drove to Little Rock, got some more heroin and coke, and ended up shooting it in my arm, of course, and I got dropped off and stranded in Little Rock. At this point, I'm mad. I'm cussing God. You know what I mean? Like, you never helped me. And I didn't know God's hand is in every situation, even if it's bad. I didn't know that. So I walked probably 4 miles altogether, and I finally see a church. It's called Tag Church, Trinity Assembly of God. And I'm thinking, my phone's dead, so I see a gas station and a church. Me, man, I was living of the flesh at that time, so I'm walking past this church 3 or 4 times, you know, trying not to go in this church because I know these people are going to know something's wrong with me, and I don't feel like explaining anything. I don't even feel like talking to anybody. At this time, I've done lost my fiance. I've only got to see, I got to stay with my kid for a month before, and I was drugged out the whole time. My fiance had to take my kid away from me because of how bad I was. And still, till this day, I get to FaceTime my daughter. And that is amazing. Because before, I wasn't even allowed, you know what I mean? I wouldn't even let myself around my daughter. But anyways, I walked past the church 3 to 4 times. And then a little thought goes in my head. Well, church people are nice. Of course they're going to let me use their phone to call somebody. You know what I mean? That's, you know, you think church people, you're like, all right, yeah, I can use their phone. So I finally walked to this church. They got 15 minutes before they were about to close. I walk in the front door, and these two older ladies are like, "Hey, I tried to turn around and walk out of the church. I'm trying to run from these two old ladies. Because, you know what I mean, I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be talked to. I'm aggravated. Anyways, these old ladies chase after me, and they come outside, and they're like, "Hey, you." And I'm like, looking back, like, "What do you mean, me?" And they pull me back in the church. Anyway, they pull me back in the church. They give me some food. I guess I was looking pretty skinny at this time. I weighed like I weighed 15 pounds less than what I weigh right now. I've gained 15 pounds in 6 days. But they give me some graham crackers and some chips and tell me to go sit in this auditorium deal. And I walk into the auditorium, and there's this dude named Lee Kitchen and Joe Benston. And they said, "Hey, you okay?" For some reason, I just spilled it all out to them. I was like, "Nope, I'm not okay. I'm a drug addict. I hadn't had a fix in a while, and I just had to walk 3 miles. You know, I'm aggravated, and I'm mad, you know?" Then I'm looking around for the exit doors, you know, and I don't see any exit signs in the exit doors, so I'm thinking, these people have me cornered. I can't even get out of here. I'm starting to feel different because the Holy Spirit was so strong in that place, so I'm trying to run. You know, the demon's on me. I'm trying to run. Eventually, I asked these two brothers, because God, look, God will get you no matter where you're at. God is going to get you. You know what I mean? I was so bad that God grabbed me. Okay. Whenever he did, like, I felt the feeling. I asked these two people, I said, will y'all pray for me? They said, yes, brother. What would you like to pray? Pray, you know what I mean? I said, just pray anything. You know, just pray anything. They started praying for me. I blacked out. I woke up. There were six people praying for me. One of those people was an 8-year-old little boy that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was speaking in tongues on me, y'all. And at first, when I came to, I was kind of like, because I had epilepsy before I got delivered from drugs. I don't have epilepsy. I hadn't had a seizure since I've been here. But God delivered me from that moment, from addiction. These are scars all over my body from where I shot drugs. They're on my hands. They're all over me. They're all over my body. And he delivered me from drugs. Delivered me from drugs. I lost it all. The Lord did. The Lord did. He delivered me from drugs. And then, whenever I was about to leave the church, they called my grandpa, and my grandpa said, we asked him where he was at. He was, I think, 4 hours away from Memphis, Pepo. 4 hours away from Memphis, which is 2 hours away from where I was. And these people, man, showed me so much mercy. They took me to their house, fed me. Look, y'all, when I say I hadn't ate in a long, long time, I have not ate in a long, long time. When I got delivered, God, man, I was hungry. Not only for him, but hungry for food. You know, like I was ready to eat. So they take me back to the house and they cook me, man. They cook me anything I want. And we watch a Christian movie, which I love. I loved Christian movies before I was even saved or anything. But anyways, I'm going to fast forward real quick. These people stayed with me for 6 to 7. Or actually, Pepo had to drive really, really slow because the eclipse and all that. These people stayed with me for probably 7 hours. It was 12 o'clock. They have work the next day, but they didn't care. It was probably the funnest night I've had in a very, very long time, and I was sober. My grandpa gets there. Man, something started working in me from the time I got delivered. My grandpa gets there, and it's 2 days into me being delivered. I asked Papa, I said, hey, can I have some money? Because I was going to an NA meeting. At the time, I was still going to NA. I might have got delivered, but I thought NA was the way. I thought that going to church that don't believe in the same way I did. Now I know it's not, you know what I mean, but NA is a Narcotics Anonymous. They go off a 12-step deal where you do this and this and you're going to never use drugs again. Well, we all know that's not true. By the grace of God, you're not going to use drugs again. So, man, Papa gave me $26 one day. I said, Papa, all I need is 20 and gave me 6 back. He goes, looked at me all weird. He's like, is this Blake? But I'll tell you, I got to Tennessee and I still confessed or convicted myself wrong. Still thought I had a problem with women, still thought I had a problem with cigarettes. And the way I looked at it, I was like, well, God took addiction from me. Why can't he do this? You know what I mean? Because my faith was like that. Why can't he do this? Like, you know what I mean? But then today, man, Leon really weighed on my heart. We went to the food place, and I said, Leon, I got to go outside real quick. He just looked at me like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he already knew what was going on. He said, I know what you're doing. And he said, you do what you think God would get mad about, or you do it if you think God wouldn't get mad about it. And that was the first time I felt like, my God, like he's mad. But I'm going to cut this off. Like, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit the other day and spoke in tongues. That's something I never even believed could even be possible. God is putting something in me I couldn't get myself. And I pray, I lift my family up and my wife and my fiance. I mean, my fiance and my baby up every day. And God has got them on this conference call right now. And I couldn't even get her to even talk to me because of the fact that I destroyed so much stuff. And I had to forgive myself. And I did. And now God is working miracles And since I'm getting delivered from things, he's working more miracles, opening more doors. And it's I started reading Sovereign God today, and I understood it for the first time. My grandpa sent that book to me when I was in prison probably three different times, just trying to send it to me. Did you get it? And I went and wrote him back. Of course I got it, you know what I mean? But I never wanted to read it because I tried to and I couldn't understand it because I wasn't ready. It's cut or dry. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's no in-between. And I know that now. And I'm not ever going backwards. And I get choked up about it because I have broken people that contact me. And I can see they're broken and I can see they're going to hell. And I try to pray for them and they go the other way, y'all. And it makes me mad. And I know I probably shouldn't get mad about it, but there's so many broken people out there. And I can see them with my eyes now. With my spirit, I can see these broken people. Me and my grandpa prayed for this girl named Kelly. She's a drug addict. And after I told her, I said, Kelly, look, I can pray for you and I can deliver you from. Look, I didn't even know I could do something like this because I don't know much about the Bible like all y'all probably do or anything like that. But I prayed. Papa said, well, you pray for her. I prayed for her. This girl texted me today and said that she does not have a want to do drugs whatsoever. She's not going through any kind of withdrawals whatsoever. And that she said, thank you, Bubba. And I didn't message her back because I told her, you know what I mean? I still can't. It's not a good idea just yet. But that showed me that this is what I want to do. You know what I mean? This is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm going to do. And God showing me that I delivered her from drugs. Man, that put a fire on me. I went and grabbed the Sovereign God book. I went and asked Papaw. I said, hey, you got something I can read? And because I can't study on my own, but if I have somebody to study with me, then I'm okay. And so I read the chapter one, and Papaw asked me, well, what's it mean? And I said what it meant, and it was the first time I understood. And that, you know what I mean? He still went through it with me, but I understood. Man, I just want y'all all to be blessed, and I hope that that hit somebody or something, you know what I mean? Because I know that I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. This is not something that's halfway. This is something that's going to be 100-fold. And, you know, it's something, it's not going to be easy. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Doing drugs was easy, you know? Walking in sin, being comfortable was easy. Waking up, praying, reading my Bible, asking God, living by faith, that was a hard one for me to grab at first. Because saying, you know I got a cut right here, but praying that it's going to get healed and then not even thinking about it and saying it's healed was a hard thing for me. But now I can't. Now I've gotten way better at it. And he delivered me from women. Women. I had a fiance and a baby and still would walk into a gas station and lust after another woman. And whenever I told my fiance that, she was not a very happy woman. But guess what? I have to be transparent. Do you understand? My grandpa said, well, you might have should have waited on that one, Blake. I said, no. Why would I want to wait on it? I want to get delivered from it right now. I don't want to wait on it. I want to tell her about it right now and get it out of the way. I'm very transparent. Papa said, you smoking? I said, yes. He said, you know, I'm very transparent. The devil took addiction. Then he started working on women and cigarettes. And, finally, you know, I got enough faith to cast them out. Now I don't smoke. Now I don't talk to women. Now I focus on my walk with God. I'm just telling y'all, if I can do it, y'all can do it. God is with us in the boat at all times. If you're having a bad day, if you bump your head, God's right there. He never went anywhere. That's what's crazy to me. I just found that out tonight, so I thought I had to share that. He never went anywhere. Like, what? When I was in prison, he was there the whole time? Yeah, he was right there with me the whole time. He let me go through what I went through so I can give this right here to y'all. If I didn't go through that, we'd be sitting here talking about, football, or you know what I mean? I wouldn't be telling y'all this. He's blessed me, man. He's blessed me. if I had a pastor of the church that delivered me from addiction, I called and tried to get a hold of him. Finally, he called me back and wants me to give me the testimony at his church on October 1st to 230 people. It is not stopping. It's not over, y'all. It's not over, and I'm fired up. For the first time in my life, I have meaning, I have cause. And my fiance's like, well, why couldn't you do it whenever your daughter was born? It wasn't time. I couldn't even do it then. I couldn't do it when my daughter was born. I couldn't do it whenever after I died. It wasn't my time. But y'all being on this broadcast right now, it's y'all's time. You know what I mean? You log in and you talk to my grandpa and he teaches y'all things and y'all are here. So if anything ever happens, y'all know y'all can get through it. Because if I can get through it, y'all can get through it. And that's for real. And I love every single one of y'all. Every single one of y'all. And I'll get back to my grandpa.
Amen.
Thank you.
Has anybody got any questions for Blake?
That's easy.
Amen. Amen.
God, you know you died a couple of times other than seeing heaven. Did you just kind of all of a sudden realize you come back?
Well,
different experience itself, isn't it?
Well, when I died, man, at first I was in the hospital bed, and I can't really remember much, but I remember seeing, you know how they pull a curtain around you? The curtain had little skeletons up top, like bird skulls. And I was talking to him. It was weird, man. I had meth falling out of my pocket, and it was all over the bed. And the demon was, I guess it was a demon. He was telling me, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. So I'd pick it up, and then I'd try to sell it to the nurse that was standing right beside me. You know what I mean? I don't remember much of those 3 days. I remember the dream, and it's weird because as soon as I died, afterwards, it was like I was awake. You know what I mean? Before, I don't remember even walking into the hospital. After I died and had the dream, I was wide awake. And I remember it because I woke up in the hospital again after dying that second time because the ambulance and the cops showed up. And when I was walking out, the nurse was like, she's like, we don't need to fill up our ER with junkies like you. You know what I mean? She's like, you need to get your junkie stuff out of my hospital and talking crap to me. So I sat down on my suitcase, and that was the first time in I don't know how many years. Like, you can ask my fiance, I'd pray over our food sometimes or something just because it made me feel better, not because I really believed in it. But whenever I sat on my suitcase outside the hospital, and my first time to pray to God, I said, God, man, I'm stranded. I don't have a way home. I don't have any food tonight. And that was the first time God provided for me. My best friend's mom walked in the door. And she's been coming up there every day while I was in the ICU praying for me. She walked in the door and gave me a ride 45 minutes to my house. That's God, man. Man, I wish I'd have got this. I wish I'd have got this way sooner.
Well, that's time right now.
Because I lost everything. I lost a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. I lost my fiance, my baby. I lost 2 jobs.
Temporarily,
but I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter who you are. That's just crazy. And then God saved me. A wretch like me, God saved.
Amen.
It's nice, yeah, we're all kind of wretches, so we can relate. So it's not like none of us are angels here. Just wanted to know your company.
Yeah. Man, I want to grow quicker. You know,
we all do.
Yeah, I know.
We all do. Thank you, Blake.
Well, how old are you, Blake?
24. I turned 21, 22 in prison and got out a month before my 23rd birthday. So, well, I guess a little bit longer than 18 months, 2 years and a month or something.
I didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit till I was like 47 or 48. So,
wasn't too late.
No, I'm just saying you got a good start. You know what I mean? You're 24. You've got quite a long stretch here to go. So you're doing good.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. All right, let's see here. Anybody else got a question? Or would like to comment on anything? I will tell you this, that some of this I've heard once before, twice before, maybe three times before, but some of this I've just heard tonight. You know, it seems like a little more comes out every time he gives his testimony, and that's good. It's really good. I believe this testimony is going to affect a lot of people. Because y'all know as well as I do, there's a lot of drug addicts out there. And, just like the Lord told me, oh gosh, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I think it's closer to 15, that, Blake was going to be doing this. And we just kept believing, Jeanette and I just kept believing that God was going to do this in him. And I just praise God for the work he's doing in him and his brother too. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
That reminded me. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That reminded me when he went to hell there, that Bill Weiss is 23 minutes in hell. So that was a pretty awesome testimony. Thank you, Blake.
Yeah, Blake had talked about, he asked me that night, he said, is there, I saw layers in heaven. He said, I never heard of that before. I said, well, yeah, there's layers in heaven. I remember what Mary Catherine Baxter had written in her book, Revelations of Hell, that the Lord had taken her down here and showed her different layers of hell. You know, everything that he went through, I'd heard before from people who had gone down there and seen things. So, yeah, he said he'd never read the Bible, so there's no way he could have known, you know, any of that. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I think I've heard testimonies too about people who have gone to hell or have seen hell, and like you were talking about your friends, they were addicts, but they were going through their own hell with addiction in hell and redying. I mean, for others, whatever their addiction was, that's kind of whatever their vice was, whatever they went to hell for, that their biggest sin was, that's what they were being tormented with while they were there. That's a terrible thought for eternity, at least. For now, I'm not sure what happens after eternity, but boy, you know, when the final judgment comes, but it's amazing what people are going through down there.
Amen. Amen. What's that?
Hey, Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah, Albert, go ahead, brother.
Well, I just wanted to tell Blake how blessed I am by that testimony, you know. I've talked about my nephew Chad and the things he went through, and he's definitely on the right path right now, walking with the Lord. And I'm going to share his testimony with him, and hopefully it encourages him to come on here and give his testimony. He's doing really well, and the prayers of all of you have helped him. And I just thank Blake for taking up the courage and being honest and spilling it out and being real, you know. These things are real, you know, and it's hard for us to understand sometimes, you know, that haven't suffered through these things, but I believe a lot of our families have had relatives and people that have battled addiction, and it's a terrible, terrible thing, you know. The devil tries to take our family out, these things, and the power of God delivers us. It's the only deliverance. There's no other, you know, these programs, you know, in short periods of time help them to get off these drugs, but only by the power of God and his grace do we actually walk out and have a testimony like Blake has today. And And I just wanted to thank him for sharing that, and I want to bless him and just give thanks to our own Almighty God and the blood of Jesus Christ for, you know, there's been a lot of prayers, and I know what you've been praying for him for a long time, and a lot of people have, and God's power, and he says, you know, ask and you shall receive, you know, and when we agree together, it shall be given to us, and all these things, and God today is showing us his grace and mercy, that he listens to us, he knows our hearts, and he, when things look so bad, and we just, you know, we look on the things that are going on in front of our eyes, you know, it's hard to see that anything could ever change or get any better, and God can turn it a second and be glorified in it. So, bless you, Blake, man. I love you, man. God bless you. And I thank you so much for standing up and giving your testimony today, and I cannot wait to share it with my nephew. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Albert. For some reason, I felt condemned to tell y'all a little bit more about the people I've seen in hell. They were my best friends. My wife is, or my fiance, I call her my wife because God's already told me we're going to be together for the rest of my life, which is amazing that he showed me that. But
proposal? My fiance,
no, I've already proposed. But my fiance has made videos with just collages of pictures with me and these people. And I have a towel I use right now that's in the bathroom that has me and CJ on it. I told him that if, you know what I mean, like if he ever died, then I'd be right behind him. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. I want to read y'all something that I have on my, Instagram. Billy, we talked to her Sunday. Me and my fiance were going to go see her on Sunday and when she was at work. And, I was talking to Billy later on that night. This is the same night she died. This is 20 minutes before she died. I said, I wake up early. I work for CJ's mom and dad. CJ is the one guy that I just talked to y'all about. I worked for his parents. This is after he died. I said, what time will you be up? She said, like 7:38. I'm going to call you good night. The last text I sent to her was, good night. Love you, sis. And I mean it. If anything ever happened to you, I don't know what I'd do. I'm going to write Zach a letter. Just send me what I need to do. That was at 1 a.m. She died at 1:20 a.m. And I had a man. It took me a long time to get over that. Her boyfriend, Alex Peavyhouse, I sent him the number to the dealer to get the drugs. He was at my house. He picked my wife up on Wednesday from work. He left Wednesday night after me and him did drugs together and asked me for a number. I gave it to him, and he would FaceTime me on the way back to Wisconsin. He picked up heroin, and he'd FaceTime me and ask me if it was enough because I always knew how much he could do. So he did it all the way back. He probably called me 5 different times on FaceTime to see if he was shooting up enough. Then one time he says he's pulling over to the gas station, and he usually stays on the phone with me when he shoots up heroin. My bad, heroin, so I can see if anything happens to him, I can call the cops. This time, he was like, hey, he showed me how much was in the spoon, and I was like, that's perfect amount. You're going to be okay. He was like, all right, well, I'm going to run to the gas station. I'll call you back when I get out. So I was like, all right. He never called me back. My fiance's baby shower, I got the call that my best friend overdosed and off the drugs that I sent him to go get. That was at my baby shower. You know how many people showed up to our baby shower? Probably 6 people, because they were all mourning the death of my best friend. So whenever they told me that I could be forgiven for these things, because I didn't think I could be forgiven for any of these things. I got Billy shooting up, and she overdosed off of heroin. I got CJ, his first time to even do drugs was with me. Alex Peavyhouse, I guess, sent him to the dealer where he got his drugs. Like, I don't know. Before I found God, that was a hard thing for me to accept. And now, and then God shows me 2 of them in hell and how they're dying. he showed me that, because he showed me that it don't matter who you are, where you come from, who's your best friend, you know what I mean? If you're not living for the Lord and you're going always after him, you can't just go after him sometimes and think you're going to get to heaven. You got to do it all the time. And he showed me, because I thought CJ went to heaven, and he showed me he was in hell. The only person he didn't show me that was in hell was my best friend Alex Beebehouse. And so that makes me think that he asked for or repented before he died and asked God, you know what I mean? That makes me feel way better, because, man, I got numb. I had 6 people die since January from overdoses on drugs that were the same kind of people, my best friends. And by the second one, I stopped crying. The third one, I laughed. The fourth one, I went and got high. And the fifth one, I laughed and was just like, ah, well, I guess they beat me to hell. That was my motto. They'd say, Blake, you're going to hell. I'd be like, beat you there? Nah, that was stupid, y'all. That was stupid. And I see that now. But I just wanted to tell you how close those people were to me. And they're in hell now. And they're going to be there for the rest of their lives. Off of not repenting before they did the fatal shot. So.
Amen. For eternity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy upon Blake. We thank you, Lord, for all the people that had been praying for Blake and Austin too. And Lord, we thank you that you answered those prayers and you saved these two men. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And not only that, Lord, I believe you're going to make mighty men of God out of both of them. And I thank you for it. Amen. You know, Blake went over to the college the other night and witnessed to a Bible study that one of the men here had over there, had started. I think that was the first one, wasn't it, Blake?
No, they're giving it to the church, the fellowship.
Huh?
Giving it to this fellowship was the first one.
Okay. But anyway, he went over there and gave his testimony, and he came back and we talked. He got back about a little before 11, and we talked for about 45 minutes or so. He told me those guys were really touched by it, and he couldn't understand it, what I said. You've got an anointing to give that testimony, that it affects people. And so there you have it. And I believe through the next little bit, God's going to do a mighty miracle and a quick work in Blake and Austin both. And we're going to see. Yeah, Leon, go ahead. Go ahead, Leon.
I just wanted to remind you that at our Friday night meeting, that a couple of people prophesied over him too about what they saw from the Lord about what his ministry was going to be and what he would do. And that was very compelling, because those people don't just say that stuff out of the air. They really had to be led by the Lord to do that. So that was a confirmation to you, Blake, and a confirmation to you, Michael, that truly God is in this. So,
oh yeah,
what a blessing that is.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, Blake, hey, again, thanks for your testimony. And you keep on adding to it, and it just gets more and more powerful. The thing with your 5-6 friends and the way you just went through it all. And I beat you there. Oh, my gosh. So it's like you're feeling it the whole time because you're thinking, oh, man, you could see the fallen man. I could see myself saying the same stupid thing, really. So I'm so glad you bring that out. But it's so real because the way you're telling us, and especially we all know that hell is so real. And you saw it, and you're seeing it, and this thing is coming out. You know, as painful as it might be for you to say those things and talk about your friends and what you've seen and how you're going through your life, I mean, if you give that testimony every time and do it with the heart that you're doing it here. Yeah, you're going to help touch a lot of lives. You're going to make people think that are doing things wrong now, it's not even drugs, and that are taking this life in a casual way and thinking, oh, I'll just get by, I'll be all right. You're going to make them turn around and maybe take a hard look at themselves. And that's what it's about, hey, getting real with the Lord. And I appreciate you doing that. I really do. Thank you, brother.
Man, I didn't know that you couldn't just go to church on Sunday and drink a beer on Monday. And then, you know what I mean? That was my idea of, you know, because I grew up in Christianity or Baptist and Assembly of God. And I grew up in all these different churches because Papa always got kicked out of them, you know. But he did, you know.
Well, you didn't have to tell that.
Well, he would, you know, because they didn't believe in the same way that this man did. And his faith was so... I asked him the other day, I said, is it bad to envy somebody's faith? Because I do, you know. And, man, I don't even know where I was going. Man, I didn't even know Christians cry. Because I cry a lot, Joe. I just start crying out of nowhere. I get goosebumps and cry over anything. Like, I just spilt my drink and wanted to cry, you know. But, yeah, man, it hurt the first time I gave it. And it still hurts to think about them, but I forgave myself for them. I don't think, man, it's weird. Because I forgave myself of other things, and he didn't, I still felt bad because I couldn't forget. You don't necessarily forget it, but once you forgive yourself and you honestly forgive yourself, man, I asked God, man, it's crazy. I used to ask Blake, what are you doing today? Now I ask God, what are you doing with me today? You know? And I understand this, and it's weird, man, because Papo sent me that Sovereign God book, y'all. He wasted 10 copies on me. I'm telling you, he wasted paper. Like, there's trees that got cut down that will never be back because he gave me the books. And I finally asked God to let me understand it. And I opened it up today and read the first chapter, and everything I thought about Christianity has changed. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And for the first time, I felt peace, man. Peace. Peace. I don't have anxiety. I don't have depression. I don't have, I had all these things, man. My first couple of days here, I tossed and turned and couldn't sleep. I couldn't really eat any food. Because everybody, man, I felt bad because everybody's on a fast and I was sitting there pigging out, you know. Now I don't because they're so strong in their faith. But, Leon, I'm going to give it to you, bud.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
I'll say something. I'm glad you're eating from Blake because I got to deal with that at my house. So at least I know they're tormented like I am, too.
Yeah, what you don't understand, Dave, I have to cook for him. But it doesn't bother me, really. It doesn't bother me at all. I just asked him, I said, go ahead, Matt.
I was just gonna say that really your father didn't send those books to you in vain. You know, whether you used them or not or threw them away, I'm sure somebody, the Lord had somebody in mind for those books.
He left three of them at the prison, so you know somebody got a hold of them. Because they ain't got a whole lot more to do than read. Amen. Praise God. Okay, anyone else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
I was just going to ask if your nephew Blake would be able to kindly pray for my nephews and all of our families that are struggling with addiction, as I know he's anointed for that.
Yeah, he did. Hang on just a second.
God, I pray for everybody's family that has a problem with addiction. I pray the addiction off of their family right now. We command it off of them now. It no longer exists on anybody's family in this membership or in this fellowship, God. We pray that you keep your angels around them, God. And every time a demon tries to come back with addiction, you cast it right back off of them. We pray that you come to them at any time with your mercy and your love, and that you let them know you. Pull them in like you pulled me in, God. And once you pull them in, they're not going to go anywhere once they find out the truth. God. Oh, man. He's wonderful, y'all. Amen. I love him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for granting repentance to every one of them, Lord, that's out there. And just like Blake prayed, Lord, we believe that you're going to go out there, and those that have been prayed for, you're going to rip out of there, and you're going to show them hell, you're going to show them heaven, and you're going to do just the same as you did with Blake. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we all going to believe for those family members and friends that we've been praying for so long, that you're going to do this, and it's going to be a part of this revival that's fixing to happen here in Jesus' name. Not only that, Lord, you're going to have some powerful ministers of God coming out of this group in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for doing that for us in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise Amen. God.
Thank you, Lord. Rip away that veil. Let him see, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Monday night, was it? When did you get filled with the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit was the Bible study.
At the Bible study? No. Yeah. In the morning prayer meeting?
No.
Monday night.
Monday night. Yeah, Monday night. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he got filled with the Holy Spirit Monday night. He asked to be prayed for. And man, God touched him in a mighty way. Yeah, his knees buckled again. He went down, and I held him up. I said, no, you get up here. You're going to do this like a man. No, I didn't say that. I was holding him, though, and he finally came up. He got strength. The Lord strengthened him, and he started talking in tongues, just a brand new language. I mean, just full language right away. Praise God, and it was awesome. He's going to be using that language. He's going to be praying like we do. And what happens when we pray in the Spirit a lot is the faith that God has given us ups. He edifies us. It gets that faith built up in us. And that's the strength of our ministry right there, is the speaking in tongues. It's a very important gift that God's given all of us. Praise God. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, just ask God to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. You want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, that's the overcoming power of the Lord that he gives each one of us. It's the power from on high that God gives us. You can't make it without it. You cannot make it without it. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Michael, I just wanted to remind you to pray for Debbie and Denny. They're on the road. They're coming here, and everybody join in prayer for them.
Okay. Lord, we just lift up Debbie and Denny to you, Lord. We thank you that we've already prayed the prayer of protection on them. We just thank you that you are protecting them. And, Lord, you're just going to bring them here, and it's not going to seem near as long a trip as it started out to be, Lord, that you're going to shorten this trip. They're going to get here, and I command the rain to stop the moment they come into Monroe County in Jesus' name, so that we can unload them and get them in that house without any rain whatsoever in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's going to be Blake's first job as a minister. Amen. Praise God.
That does mean servant, by the way.
That does. It does.
Yes, it does.
Didn't I help you clean today?
Huh?
Didn't I help Leon clean today? That was my
Oh, yeah. He said, didn't he help you clean today, Leon? All right. Praise God. Yeah, we've been having a wonderful time since Blake's been here. It's been awesome. All right. Yeah, amen. I don't know if you will or not, so we'll just hold that for later. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? What's that girl eating that popsicle right there in front of me for? Look out now. Amen. That looks like a banana popsicle, too, and that's one of my favorites. Oh, my goodness. Amen.
I just wanted to tell Blake, thanks for telling your testimony. I was so blessed by it, and I share your joy. I'm just so happy for you. I just praise the Lord for what he's doing in you. And I just want to share that. I'm so thankful that you gave your testimony. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let me see if his Mimi has anything she'd like to say to him. Jeanette? You have anything to say, Jeanette? I think she's... Hello, Jeanette, can you hear us? Okay, maybe next time. Yeah. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody else? Yeah. Huh? Hey, Courtney. Would you like to say something, hon? No? You done said all you gonna say, hadn't you, gal? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. She's sweet gal.
Sucking out boogers.
Well, have a leaf right for it. Unmute you. Go ahead, Blake.
I'm sucking out Harper's boogers.
I will all pray for it. The whole group will. I got a
gouge
stuff in my throat, so
people,
you're gonna do it.
I unmuted you.
I'm saying pray for Harper.
Oh, okay. All right. Amen.
Got to put your microphone down for anybody to hear you.
Yeah.
I think Missy wanted to say something.
Go ahead, Missy.
Yeah. I'd also like to thank you, Blake, for sharing your testimony. And I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for Michael because, I mean, he's talked about you a lot. And we have been praying for you and we'll continue to pray for you. And I just can't wait to keep hearing things that the Lord's doing in you and through you. And I just praise the Lord for what he has done already. And I just have a question on the lighter side. I want to know, Blake, why don't you talk like your grandpa?
Well, my grandpa is an old farmer boy. And
okay.
You know, look, he told me a story about when it froze in the field. They played hockey with the mud chips, you know.
Cow patties.
And
I never did
anything like that in my childhood, so probably why he talks a little bit different. Yeah.
I don't detect any really like accent at all, you know, per se. When your grandpa first started hearing him, you know, on the outreach talking and everything, and it was hard to understand him at first, you know. But now it's not hard at all. You kind of, once in a while, he'll say something, you're like, you have to stop and think, now what was that? But yeah, I just had to tease a little bit, and that was more to tease Michael than you.
Yeah, we say y'all a lot, and I've lived in 29 different states and been to 33, but I will always come back to Arkansas, man. I love it. Or maybe Tennessee now, I don't know. I like it here too.
Yeah, it's awesome there. I was there for a year and 9 months, and I love it there.
Well, come on back.
Oh, I believe I will be. I'd love to be able to get down there and meet you here soon, but I don't know, Lord willing.
Well, I'll meet you in due time.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. In the meantime, he's going to be on the conference call, hopefully, at least for the next 4 weeks anyway.
I'm going to be on it when I get, if I go home too, I'll still be on the conference calls.
Here's what the parole officer told him, said 30 days is all he has. But how many of you know that God can change things? He can change things. I mean, he changed Blake, for goodness sake. He changed me. So he can change all of us. Praise God. He can change that order too. Thank you, Lord. If God wants it, he may have something else for him to do. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Ask or talk about? All right.
Hey,
well, yes, Tim, go ahead.
I just got a couple of things here real quick. I'm trying to figure out this tablet of mine, and every time I try to unmute it, I can't hit the button in time. Anyways, I wanted to really thank Blake for that outstanding testimony. It took, I'm sure, some courage and a lot of, to come and talk to people that you don't know and pour your heart out like that. And I know you probably know this, but your grandpa's been praying for you, and we all have for a long, long time. To see this come to fruition is just a real blessing for all of us. And we're all, with you 100% in spirit, and we love you and wish you the very best. And, it's a real testimony to the power of corporate prayer, the turnaround it's made in your life, and what a blessing it is to have you with us. So welcome aboard, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yep. That's good. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. What was we talking about the other night?
What is unforgiveness to God?
What is unforgiveness in God's eyes, right?
Something like that.
Okay. Anybody want to venture out? I like what David says in that book. I'm going to get it because there's some good quotes in there that I like, that he kind of nails it down pretty good. How many of you read this book? The Curse of Unforgiveness. Yeah. If you haven't read it, you need to, because it's a good book. Most people don't understand about unforgiveness at all. Unforgiveness comes in a lot of forms and can manifest as a critical spirit or bitterness or wrath or even irritation. And because unforgiveness can manifest in so many ways, quite often we might not even recognize it, and the Lord has to bring us into places where we will stop and think about it, and then we have to confess it and renounce it, because it will keep us from receiving anything from God. As a matter of fact, according to the Word of God itself, it will even keep you from receiving forgiveness from God. That is one of the key tenets of Christianity. You must forgive from the heart everybody. Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And that's a dangerous place to be in right there. Because if you die while you're in unforgiveness, you can't believe that you're going to heaven, because you're not. Y'all remember that pastor over in Africa that died after having a little spat with his wife. And he was bitter over that. And he had a wreck. He ran his Mercedes Benz into a tree and it killed him right outright. And he was in, most of you already know it. He was dead for 4 days, and then he went to his wife, asked his dad if she could take him to Reinhardt Bonnke's meeting several miles away. And he said, he finally, yeah, go ahead, and took him down there, and they wouldn't let him, well, let her take the body inside the sanctuary, but they had to take it down in the basement down there. And a bunch of them got around him, started praying for him, and he came back to life. And the story he told is what was amazing. He said that the Lord had sent him to hell. He went up to heaven first, and the Lord told him, he said, no, you're not allowed to come in here. He said, your fruit sends you to hell. And he asked him what it was. He said, well, you had unforgiveness in your heart for your wife. And so he took him down. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take you down there, and we're going to walk around hell and let you get a good taste of it, and then you go back and warn my people about it, what it's about. And he didn't understand that unforgiveness is anything that irritates you about somebody. That's unforgiveness. Anything. And it's so critical that we make sure that we don't carry any grudges. We don't carry anything in our heart. If somebody irritates you, ask God to take it away from you. Start praying for that person. That's what I've had to do a number of times, you know. But God takes it away from you. And when he does take it away from you, you understand about it. But I always remember when that preacher came back and he said, I tell you what, he said, when I feel the least little bit of irritation or bitterness come up, rising up in me, anger is unforgiveness, anger rising up in me, I run to the bathroom and lock the door and start praying. Because he don't want to go back to hell. He does not want to go back to hell. I don't blame him. After listening to Blake's testimony, I don't care nothing about going down there either. But unforgiveness is any kind of irritation that you have against somebody. That's a form of irritation. I mean, unforgiveness. And we all need to make sure of how we're walking with the Lord. And to make sure that, you know, even if somebody irritates you, that you forgive them. You ask the Lord to take that away from you. Just like Blake was talking about, I don't want to go down there and see CJ. I don't want to go see Billy. I don't want to go see none of them. I want to make sure that my life is clean as far as any kind of anger or bitterness or unforgiveness might be in my heart. And I've asked the Lord many times, take it out of my heart. Take it out. And the best way to do that, somebody talked about this last week, I believe, is to pray for them. Is to pray for those people that do irritate you. And just make it a point to bless them every time you see them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Praise God. Okay, anybody else on unforgiveness?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Back when I was learning a lot a few years ago, and I was, just a few years into the Lord, and I was learning about forgiveness. You know, you had to forgive everybody. But then the Lord kind of showed me I had unforgiveness towards myself. And I was thinking, that doesn't count as unforgiveness, you know, how that, you know, it's just me not being forgiving for myself, you know, I thought it was only for others. But he showed me that it's still unforgiveness, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for others. And that was probably one of the most hardest things I had to do, is forgive myself. I understand where Blake's coming from. You know, you forgive yourself for, you know, all the things that's happened in his life. And things that's happened in my life, you know, it's just like, you know, wow, you know, I've got to forgive myself because that counts as that forgiveness. And so I just wanted to share that to encourage people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. In 1 John 4:16, and we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love. And he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. We have to be so forgiving to the world and to God's children, because people are overtaken by the devil, and they are victims of the devil. And it's more appropriate and better for us to see them that way than to become angry and judgmental, because many times we have done the same thing, and we wanted mercy too. So we should pray for God's mercy for them. Consequently, there's always a curse in walking out of the love of God. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, if you have fear, there's something wrong as a Christian. There is some offense to your conscience. There's some lack of love. Praise God. So, anytime that happens to us, what do? We ask God to take it from us. We have to get God to do all of that work for us. That's the only way we can, you know. I know that I have some bitter feelings towards some people back early in my walk with Christ, until I came to the knowledge of this unforgiveness thing was really, God's serious about it. He's real serious about it. And he ain't going to have anyone in heaven, I don't care who you think you are, he's not going to have anyone in heaven with unforgiveness in his heart toward anyone. I remember we had a lady here that she thought that she didn't have any unforgiveness in her heart, because she had forgiven them up here, but she didn't forgive them in the heart. You know, I've heard many a times, you know, well, I forgive them, but I don't forget. Well, that's not unforgiveness at all. That's not unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is when you totally let it go and let God have it. And there's nothing but love in your heart for those people. You can't be judgmental toward the lost anyway, can we? That's what the Word says. You can't be judgmental toward the lost. And so what does he want us to do? He wants us to pray for him. When you pray for him, God's got something he can do for him. Because your prayers mean something to God. We've already seen that numerous times on this, even on this outreach. And so we just pray for those people. But the main thing is to get it out of your heart. And, you know, for us that's grown up, that your dad and your mom's told you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get going, you know. Praise God, you take care of yourself and you take care of your family, and you know, you go against this, you go against that, you against the world and all that. No, that's not what God's completely opposite of that. He's 180 degrees away from that. He wants us to walk in love. 1 Corinthians 13 is a good chapter to read. Blake and I went over this afternoon. We went over Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit and what it is to walk like Jesus. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And also what the flesh, the flesh, what it is. It lists all the things of the flesh there. Those are the key things that we need to understand. If you've got this in your heart, or you got that in your heart, and you don't have love, you're nothing. If you have, God talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, how we ought to, and I'm going to just go ahead and read that if y'all don't mind. He said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, you ain't nothing to God. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoice with the truth. It beareth all things, believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So when I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. And that's what God wants out of. That's the fruit that God's looking for in each one of us right there. That's the hundredfold fruit. When you love everybody, whether they come against you or not. Amen. All right. Anybody want to comment or add to it? Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to say that I found it's really easy to forgive people. If as soon as they offend you, you ask the Lord to take it out of you and just let it go, you know. But if I just, you know, my flesh, is in a weird way, my flesh likes to, you know, think about it or get angry or whatever, you know. If I indulge in so much as one thought, it's like game over. And I'm, you know, end up getting angry or bitter or whatever, you know. But if I, you know, just cast down every thought, you know, and give it to the Lord, it's really easy. But, you know, just that one thought, you know, you think it's just one, you know, you're going to be okay. You can pull out of it later, you know. Sometimes it's like, ah, I'll be angry now and I'll be good later, you know. But no, you know, you give it to one thought and that's like game over. You're angry. But if I, you know, just cast down the thoughts each time, you know, and just don't accept it and just, you know, fight that off, then it's really easy, you know. The Lord will take it from you if you're faithful to do that, I found.
Amen. Yeah, that's the best way to do it, is to cast it off right away. If you sit there and fester, let it fester, you know, that devil's going to sit up there on your shoulder. He says, man, you ain't got to take that. Ain't no way you got to take that, man. Lash out at him. Tell him that. No. Not what God wants. God wants you to show love. He wants you to curb that tongue, don't he? He wants you to put that bridle in your mouth. Let that bridle guide you, and that's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. All right, anybody else? That's good, Anna. Anybody else? What you laughing at, boy? That old boy, he happy baby right now. Thank the Lord. All right. Anybody else want to comment on unforgiveness? How you beat it back? Well, that's good. Everybody's overcome that unforgiveness. That's good. Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
I would say that, you know, prior to being baptized in the Holy Spirit and having a little more control and letting the spirit man rule more, that living in the flesh, it was easy, and that was part of natural life, just to feel like, well, it's okay. Like you said, you had feelings about people. You really never let go. And or they would come back up and regurgitate on you, and they'd get mad about it, but you'd let it go. But still, it is always in the back of your head. But I my personal experiences is, you know, understanding what unforgiveness was, eventually, and realizing you had to let it go, that you can't hold it. And then, because it's detrimental to you. I mean, even if the person doesn't even know that you're mad at them, if it's your heart that's got the problem, you're the one that's going to carry the burden. You know, that's the big deal. You have it. They may not have a problem. They're going to be fine with their life, but you're carrying this extra load now that you don't have to have. But once you realize that, no, you can't have unforgiveness, and, you know, yeah, you really need the Holy Spirit, and you need to be able to have that spirit man be able to walk in this newness of life. You can't let that old man live anymore. That old man has to be gone. Because that old man, that's not you anymore. Why do you want to hold on to what you used to be? All those things you had in your past, think about all the things it made you do, all the things you failed. Why would you want to have that failure still in your life? And that part of that failure is all that unforgiveness we had. I had tons of it. I'm so glad the Lord allowed me to let it go. But I was talked about Monday, I was starting to get irritated with people because things were starting to bother me. But I realized it was just a trial I was going through. But still, it lets you know real quick, once that old man starts to have any kind of life in him, he starts coming back to life, he'll start getting angry quick, he'll start being moody, he'll allow you to feel a way you don't want to feel again. We don't want to let that old man live, no matter what we give him. We don't want to give him any ground at all. And absolutely, unforgiveness, I mean, if you feel it, you got angry or something gets you, right, Dal, you're right. Anna says, you repent, you let it go, you get rid of it. Otherwise, that old man's going to come back alive, and you have to, you know, then you have to find out how to kill him again. You have to be watching for him and praying to the Lord and casting him down and going through that spiritual warfare. Who wants to do that? That's no fun.
Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, there's some really nice videos that I downloaded of David Eales talking about taking up your cross and following Christ, and to know what your cross is and to love your cross. I find that a lot of these in chapter 13, you know, it's vaulteth not itself. That's kind of taking up your cross too, isn't it? And to not be unseemly or indecent, you know, in speech or in behavior, you know. So it's part of your cross to leave that old man on the cross, and some of these things that are mentioned here in that chapter too. I just want to point that out because I'm sort of listening to that video that he has there, like him sitting in a chair there and talking to you about it. It's on the site, so just like to mention that.
Amen. That's a good one. You remember the name of it?
No, he's just sitting on a chair there, and he's got these back there, and he's talking to
he got that fake tree sitting behind him. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. That ain't on but about 500 of them, that's all.
Starts with that Zechariah verse there. No?
Okay.
Where he turns his hand upon the little ones after Jesus, and he goes into that, and you know, and I don't have him on the video of all of them. I'm not a really good tech savvy with my computer, so I got some of it just in of him talking in the background, and some of it with the video, which is
kind of nice. Amen. Well, he's got a lot of bone unforgiveness in there too. A lot of them. Okay, anybody else? Well, while we got a little time left, does anybody have an idea about what you want to talk about? What is today? Next Tuesday? Well, all right. Praise God. That's a good subject. Yes, Lord.
Can I ask for a prayer?
Yeah. All right. You know how to unmute yourself? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
My fiance logged on tonight and the computer died on her. But we've been praying and lifting her up because when I first got here, I had a problem with the women, and I was talking to all these other women because mine. When she's saying that she forgave me because she listened to this sermon tonight, she just said, "I forgive you." And I don't know about y'all, but that made me feel amazing. And she said she really enjoyed the Bible studies. And so I just want to pray that she keeps coming back to him and that God touches her like he's touched all of us. It's not perfect by any means, me and her relationship at this point, but with God, I have faith that it will be the best relationship and that it can be the most spiritual with God relationship I've ever had. So God, we want to lift up Courtney to you. With forgiving, there's forgetting. And I think that she's still struggling with that quite a bit. And we pray that you show her that she can forgive and forget, God, and that she can chase you like we're chasing you with the fire. And I want you to give the fire to Courtney and the passion to chase you like we chase you, God. And I want to lift her up to you, God, and I want you to touch her and let her feel your grace. And just put your arms around her and keep the angel of protection over her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Let's talk about what Andrew was talking about there next Tuesday. Let's talk about the cross and what it means to bear your cross. Okay, we can do that. Is that all right with everybody? How shall we die? Amen.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. Perfection through Christ, any of those, it's all the same. Praise God. Well, has anybody got anything we need prayer for before we close out tonight? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this great time with these wonderful people, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are bringing us all together in one accord. And we thank you, Father, for this powerful, powerful prayer group that we have here, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that all the prayers that we prayed are being answered, have been answered, and will be answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that Lynn and his family is going to get another good night's sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that Courtney is going to be on these conference calls from now on. Every time that Blake's on, she's going to be on. And I thank you, Lord, that Jeanette's going to be on it too in Jesus' name. And everybody that has family members that they want on here so they can hear from them and just know Father, that you're doing a work in all of us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this weekend during pot blessing. Bless it in Jesus' name. We're going to have a liquid pot blessing, Lord. We ask you to bless all that liquid pot in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that when we come back, that we're all got something to share the glories and the praises of you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks. Good night.